Go ahead, I'm returning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. I don't know about you, but I'm amazed at where January has gone. It seems as if January 1st was just a few days ago, and today it's the 30th. Wow. This year is going to go by very quickly. You know, a few weeks ago, I started talking about our theme for the year, which is faith in our great God. Amen? You and I, we serve an awesome God. We serve a powerful God. We serve a God who can do anything, who's got all kinds of resources. And you and I, as children, we have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to worry about. Amen? And I really pray that this year, like we've never done before, you will decide on your own that you're going to put your trust and your faith in your Father like you have never done before in your Christian life. On Friday, John and I, we went to a church building. We're talking about putting our faith in God, right? And I believe, and I've always believed that you got to lead by example. Okay? And so I went to this church building. Beautiful building. Empty. It's up for sale. Here we are. We just lost another building for $2 million a few weeks ago. Guess this one, how much this one is? $6.2 million. That's what they're asking for. I said, John, do you like this place? He said, I like it. I said, I like it too. I said, we need to pray right here. And that's what we did. We prayed, we said, God, we want this place. You said, Richard, do we have $6.2 million? No. But my God's got much more than that. Are you listening to me? You see, you got to put your faith into action. It's easy to see the obvious. And that doesn't require faith. But you see, when you step out, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, then God will do something special. God will do much more than you can ask or can even imagine. That's the way I operate. A few months ago, I wrote Mike Smith, the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, I wrote him a letter. And I said, dear coach, introduced myself. I said, let me be the first one to tell you that you're going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I included a book of quotes from different athletes. I said, use this, you know, inspire your guys and all that stuff. And he responded to me very quickly. You know, he said, thank you for your encouraging words and everything. I'm going to use the book. And believe it or not, you know, a few weeks ago, we lost in the playoffs. That hurt. But let me tell you something. I didn't lose anything by putting my faith out there. That's the point I'm making. And I think too many times we don't step out on faith because we think, well, what if this doesn't happen? There is only one way you're going to find out. Is by putting your faith out there and see what God does. Amen? You see, in Matthew chapter 14, this is one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. I love this story. And we're going to look at it this morning. In Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. It says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from the land.
buffeted by the wind, by the waves, because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, at 3 a.m. in the morning, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. I want you to imagine this. These are guys who make their living on the water. These are seasoned fishermen. But they're in a storm. And they're losing it. They are terrified. And Jesus just shows up walking on the water. As a matter of fact, the account in Mark tells us Jesus was going to pass by. He wanted them to see him. These guys are terrified. Grown men like you and I. You see, it's okay to be afraid. Trying to be macho is not in the Bible. There are times it's okay to be afraid. If you've been around me in a thunderstorm, you know. When I hear lightning and thunder, I jump. I don't care. I'm scared. And I'm saying a silent prayer. "Lord, I pray that doesn't come near my house." They were terrified, it says. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you..." Oh, you got to love Peter. You have got to love the Apostle Peter. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. The first man ever to walk on water. Jesus doesn't count because he's God. I'm talking of a mortal like you and me. He says, "Lord, if that's you, tell me to come out to you on the water." He just says, "Come." And the Bible says he got out of the water. And he's out of the boat and he's walking on the water toward Jesus. Oh, I wish I was there just to witness that. That's incredible. We'll keep on reading. But when he saw the wind in verse 30, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen? I mean, think about it. This day started just like any other day. I don't think Peter woke up that morning thinking, "You know, today, what? Guess what I'm going to do?" That thought never crossed his mind. It never crossed their minds. As a matter of fact, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000. And, you know, with a few loaves of bread and a few fish, dismissed the crowd. He told the apostles to get into the boat. We're heading to the other side. And then the Bible tells us that he went off to a mountainside to pray. Incredible. When most people will be sleeping, saying, "You know what, I've had a long day, I deserve my sleep." He saw the need to go connect back with the Father. And you see that a lot throughout Jesus' life and his ministry. Are you with me? See, that whole concept of those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. We need to spend a lot more time praying instead of sleeping. Amen? "Oh, I'm tired, Mr. Richard." That's exactly my point. That's when you need to be praying. And to be dependent on the Lord. Amen? Now, if you fall asleep in the process, amen, that's fine. But don't depend on your strength. Jesus went up to pray, came back, 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, the boat has been buffeted by the wind and the waves. I've been on the Sea of Galilee. It's a huge sea. It's a huge lake. It looks itty-bitty on the map. But when you stand there and you look at the size, it is incredible. You can't see the other side of it. from one angle. And he's walking on the water. Some commentators feel Jesus was just praying. He got so carried away, he didn't even realize when he started walking on water. Oh, I'm walking on water. Okay, maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But these guys, remember, they're in the boat. The waves are tossing this thing all over the place. They're terrified, and they see these ghosts, quote unquote, coming up, walking towards them on the water. You'll be scared too. And you know what's interesting? There's nowhere to run to. Have you thought about that? Usually, if you see something coming from this direction, okay, you take off in the opposite direction. But when you're in a boat in the middle of a lake, sorry, there's nowhere to go. And so they're crying out. They're terrified. There's 12 of them. Grown men. These are not teenagers. Okay? I say, hey, he says, take courage. It's me. It's just me. And then Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me. Give the command. And I'll come out to you. And I can just picture the smile on Jesus' face. It's all dark. Come. That's all he had to say. Just come. And the Bible tells us that he stepped out of the boat. That's incredible to me. Nobody had ever done that before. But Peter was going to listen to the voice of his master. And that's all it took. Remember, there's 11 more guys on the boat. I wonder what they're thinking. Oh, boy, Peter's gonna lost it. This guy is totally nuts. You see, that's what happens when somebody steps out on faith. You say, Richard, why are you talking about this? The title of my lesson this morning is, Do Something Daring. You see, brothers and sisters, it's very easy to be comfortable in the boat. You're used to the environment. Why don't you do something out of the ordinary that you haven't done in a long time? That even yourself, you are scared of doing it. That's stepping out on faith. That's relying on your God. You see, the amazing thing is, you know what? There's always a call. It's amazing how throughout Scripture, as you read it, God always uses ordinary people. Ordinary people like you and me, with two eyes, two ears, one mouth, two hands. These guys didn't walk around with halos around their heads. No. They were just ordinary people like you and me. But the thing that was different about them, though, was their faith in God. Their faith in this incredible, invisible God that we don't see. And therein lies the difference about how our life turns out and what we do and accomplish for God on this earth. Because remember, one day we're going to leave this place. We are all going to be gone. Amen? But the question is, how are we going to live our lives? Are we going to live our lives in a comfortable environment, doing the same old, just boring lives? Or are we going to step out on faith? And so I'm asking you this morning, individually, when was the last time you did something daring for the Lord? If you want 2011 to be different, you're going to have to step out. You're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to rely on God. True story. These two men decided, you know what? They were going to step out of faith and do something daring. And they're talking to each other. And one said, you know what? I'm going to pray for Kenya for 6 months every day. Said, do you know anybody in Kenya? No. I'm just going to pray for that nation every day for 6 months. And says, if nothing happens, I will give you $500. I says, you got yourself a deal. And so the man started praying. He didn't know anybody in Kenya. He'd never been to Kenya. He's at a party one day, and he hears this couple talking about there's an orphanage over there that, you know, they run and support, and the guy kind of moves closer. He says, I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Where's this orphanage? It's in Kenya, this. The man said, you know, I'd love to help. So, as a matter of fact, we'd love for you to come visit. And so he went there for the first time in his life and flew over there, saw the orphanage. It's the largest orphanage in Kenya. He was so impacted because obviously the kids didn't have a lot. So he came back to the U.S. and wrote to all the pharmaceutical companies and pharmacies. He said, you know what? At the end of every month, at the end of every year, you guys toss out a lot of medicine that poor people could be using. Just give them all to me. And he was able to collect over $1 million worth of medicine and sent it to that orphanage. The president took notice. He asked the guy to please come back. He says, you know what, I'm getting ready to reshuffle my cabinet. Could you come? Let's pray together. And the man went down at his invitation. They prayed together. And one of the things they did on that trip was go visit the prisons. And he gets to this section and he sees all this. And says, what are these guys in here for? He said, they're political prisoners. And the guy looked over at the president and said, you know, Your Excellency, that's not right. You need to let them go. People should be able to speak their minds. If they don't agree with you, it's okay, but you can't lock them up for that. A few days later, he let them out. The man got a phone call from the State Department saying, you know, we want to thank you. He says, for what? He says, the president just let all the political prisoners. And when they asked him why, he says, because you asked him. He said, we've been trying to get him to do it for months. And he wouldn't do it. We just want to thank you. What did you say to him? He said, I just asked him. I share that story because you never know what God is going to do with your prayers. But you got to be praying them consistently on a daily basis. You say, Richard, you're crazy. You know, you're looking at a $6.2 million building. Precisely. I'm putting my faith on the line. I have no idea where the money is going to come from. But God does. Let me tell you something. If God wants us in that building, there is nothing anybody on this earth can do to stop it. You've heard me say that before. But you see, when are you going to do something daring? I know some of us have been studying the scriptures. And it's scary. Guess what? You're in a good place. It needs to be scary. Because you don't just wake up one day and decide, oh yeah, I'm going to make Jesus Lord. I'm going to do everything according to what this book says. I'm going to live my life according to this. If Jesus goes left, I'm going left. If Jesus jumps, I'm jumping. If Jesus says go, I'm going. It's terrifying. Because it's not for 6 months, it's not for a year, it is for the rest of your life. You see, Jesus is very clear in Luke 14. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will you not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and you're not able to finish, everybody will see you ridiculing you, saying, this fellow began to build but was not able to finish. God wants you to count the cost. But there's always going to be fear. But that's okay. The important thing is you can't let that fear stop you. Are you with me? You got to go to where Jesus is. Guess what? Jesus, in this story, is on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat. Now, I've been reading this story forever. I finally saw this the other day. I never saw this before. He says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. I want you to imagine this. Jesus is standing there on the water. And he's walking towards him. And then all of a sudden, he realized, uh-oh. There's still a storm going on. But there was a storm going on when he stepped out. The difference was, at that point, he was focused on Jesus. And somewhere in between, when he got out of the boat and got to where Jesus was, he took his eyes off of the Lord. That's when he saw the wind. Again, I've said this before. I don't know how you see wind, first of all. But you see, that's what happens when you become faithless, when you start doubting, you start seeing things you are not meant to see. We laugh, but I'm telling you the truth. But notice what Jesus says. He says,
Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? He was with him alone when he said it.
I hadn't seen that before. I always thought it was, you know, after they got into the boat, he's telling them now, come on, man, why did you doubt in front of all the guys? But he did it with him one-on-one. Before they got back to the boat. Forget about the faithless 11 that sat in the boat. They didn't get out. They didn't need to hear that. This was for Peter.
Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? You were doing so good.
You know, it's like little kids sometimes, you know, when they first start walking, and you see them, they're walking for the first time, and they're walking, and they're walking, and they fall, and they get up again, and they walk. What happens when an adult makes noise? It startles them, and they fall, and they start crying. It's like, oh, don't cry, don't cry. It's like, you know, if you just kept quiet, it would have been fine. But see, we got to trust God. You got to dare to do something different. And so I'm asking you this morning, what is your boat? Whatever represents safety and security for you apart from God, that's your boat. You see, I don't know what my boat is. Let me tell you something. Your fear will tell you where your boat is. What is it that you're afraid to lose? That's your boat. Where does your security lie? That's your boat. And Jesus is on the water. You got to go out there towards him. You got to take that first step, leap of faith. Although you don't know where you're going, you don't know where the next step is. You got to go out there, amen? You see, what happens a lot of times is we don't want to be the first ones to step out. And fear of failure stops us from getting out. You realize that the great baseball players, the great hitters of all time, have been men who have struck out a lot of times. You see, you hear about Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and all these guys. I know in the last several years they've been getting themselves juiced up. Okay? Using steroids and stuff. You say, oh, Richard, how do you know that? Ha. Huh. You know how you know? When somebody comes out and calls you out and says, oh, you're using drugs, and you don't see the guy immediately go after him and sue him, he's probably guilty. Can you imagine if somebody accused me of using steroids? I'm going to sue them for $10 million. Without blinking. Because it's false. I'm not going to take it. How come you see all these guys? Again, that's a different day, different sermon. I know I'm digressing, but I'm trying to make a point. But you see, all the good baseball players, they struck out a lot. They did. Now they hit some. And they set some great records. But you see, they didn't become great hitters by just sitting on the sideline. Say, I'm not good now there. I don't want to make a fool of myself. You got to get out there and swing and miss. Because guess what happens? When you swing and miss, you learn something. You say, you know what? When that pitcher does this, these are his tendencies. And so you get back on board. And you're waiting. And you're waiting. And you see that ball coming and then you hit it. Home run. People are screaming. But you see, you learn something. From all the strikeouts you had. The same thing is true spiritually speaking. When we are afraid of failure and we just sit there, you're not learning anything. The only way you and I are going to grow is by making mistakes. It's by getting out there and doing it over and over again. Amen? Did Peter fail? No! He walked on water. You and I will read the story today. You see, failure is not an event, but rather a judgment about an event. It is the way we think about outcomes. There was a man called Jonas Salk. He developed the vaccine for polio. He had 200 unsuccessful attempts. How did it feel to fail 200 times? Somebody asked him. He says, I never failed 200 times in my life. I was taught never to use the word failure. I just discovered 200 ways how not to vaccinate for polio. You see, it's all your perspective. We've all heard of Winston Churchill. He stood down and stared down Hitler during World War II. And somebody asked him, he said, how were you able to do that? He said, you know what? I learned that lesson when I had to repeat a grade in elementary school. The man said, you failed a year in grade school? Winston replied, I never failed anything in my life. I was given a second opportunity to get it right. Was Salk a failure? No. Was Churchill a failure? I don't think so. You see, if you don't fail at something, how are you going to learn to do it right? You got to pick yourself back up. Are you going to try it again? And chances are, you may not succeed that time, but you're going to learn something. But you got to keep on going. The same thing is true, spiritually speaking. You know, we hate to see others see us fail. I can only imagine the entire time of Peter's life on this earth before, you know, he eventually died. He was crucified upside down. These guys talking in the fellowship, you know, when the brothers are just hanging, the apostles. Do you remember that night when we're out on the water? What was that like? Peter, what was that like to walk on water? Peter's going, yeah. You know. You guys, we're all terrified, and then I got out. Yeah, we thought you were crazy. What was that like? Can you imagine throughout his entire life, knowing that, you know what, one day I walked on water. Now, we don't see any account of that after that, or them even trying it. So when I say go do something daring, I'm talking about doing something that God has called you to do, where God has spoken on the subject. Oh, you know, Richard told us to go do something daring. I'm going to go drive off my car, off the building. Please do not do that. You can't show me the scripture for that. But if you can find the scripture, I'm saying, go do it. And you watch what the Almighty God does. You got to listen to the voice of Jesus. Amen? Amen. We got to hang in there. We got to trust God. Sir Edmund Hillary made many unsuccessful attempts to scale Mount Everest. After one attempt, he said, I'll defeat you yet. Because you are as big as you are going to get, but I'm still growing. Every time Hillary climbed, he failed. And every time he failed, he learned. And every time he learned, he grew and tried again. And one day, he didn't fail. The first man that ever climbed Everest. And now, tons of people have done it. They had a teenager climb I think it was last year. The youngest man that's ever scaled the top. First of all, I think those guys are nuts. Okay? But that's their stuff. They like doing stuff like that. I'm not talking about extreme sports here. All right? But I mean, I've never been to Everest, but I've seen pictures. And I've seen movies. It's daunting. I mean, I climbed Kilimanjaro. I thought I was going to die. And that was nothing. I can't believe people do that. Kilimanjaro, you're 2 miles above the clouds. That's how high you are. It's incredible, the view. And then to see the sunset the next morning as the sun came up, as it was on that mountain. Oh, that was the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. Am I going to do it again? No. Because it was very challenging. So I'm saying this, I don't know what your boat is. I don't know what you're afraid of. But it's time to step out. It's time to do something daring. It's time to do something different. Many of us, we used to do some many daring things when we were young disciples. We did some crazy stuff. Dumb stuff, but crazy. Nonetheless. What has happened to all that?
You're sitting in the boat. You're comfortable. You're secure. It's time to get out. It's time to inspire your family. Do something. Amen? That's what Peter did. And that's why we're reading about this today. We got to keep our focus on Jesus. You know, as long as God is around and God promises to be with us till he comes back, that's good enough for me. I have nothing to be afraid of. I have nothing to worry about. Do I have problems? You betcha. But the key is always putting our focus on Jesus. Never allowing Jesus out of our sight. When was it? Was it a year ago or 2 years ago? When, quote unquote, we were going through a major recession. You saw people losing their minds. It's all economics. That's all it is. Guess what? Something goes down. There's only one way it's got to go next. Up. They're like a genius to figure that out. The important thing is, in the process, we can't lose our minds. We can't lose our faith. Oh, how am I going to do this? Oh, how am I going to do this? Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Father, where are you? Oh, please, stop it. God knows what he's doing. God is just messing with you. That's all this is. He's just messing with us. See, I want to see how they're going to react. I want to see if they're going to put their faith in me. I want to see if this is going to shake them. That's all this is. Amen? When you pass the test, when we pass the test, it goes on to something else. It gives you a bigger challenge. Amen? But you got to dare to do something different. And so I don't know where you're at this morning. I want to encourage you. I want to inspire you. I want to implore you to get out on the boat. Get out of the boat. Step out on the water. And watch the Almighty does what he does best. God bless you.